to this God-inspired message from Shofar Christian Church. We trust that you will enjoy today's message and that it will encourage you to grow deeper in your relationship with Christ our Savior.
Father, we want to thank you that you are good in every way, Lord. And Father, Anne-Marie just came to challenge us, Lord, with that you are the eternal God, Lord, and that you are good in every way. We just want to surrender to the goodness of God this morning, Lord, and that we can trust in you because you are good. Even though we don't understand, we can trust that you are good, Lord. And I pray that you will just focus my mind on what you want to say, Lord. I pray that every thought that is not from you be taken away, that the words, Lord, will be a blessing to your heart this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. I've been really, in the last while, seeking God, because many things happened, and I don't understand most of it. But whenever I came into his presence, he would say to me, follow me. Follow me. And all that I'm hearing is God is saying, I must follow him. So in the beginning of this year, end of last year, God challenged me to start spending more time with him in his presence, to pray more, to read scripture more. I don't want to tell you how much because then you're probably going to go, no, who want to do that? That's impossible. But it's been difficult, and I've been slaving through lists of praying, but then there came a point where I broke through, and I started really enjoying the time I spent with God, that I just want to go back, and I want to hear more. And in this struggle, I've been wanting to hear God's voice, to hear, and many people wanting to give me advice, and why don't I can see this one and that one, but I just want to hear what God is wanting to say. I want to follow because where God is leading me. I don't want to follow because of my own weaknesses, because I just came to a point where I realized I cannot trust myself, because if I trust myself, I'm going to lose it completely. So in this journey that I'm going through, and I really realized now God took me there, but the manne wat glo, ek weet nie of julle al gehoor het van hulle, Jan de Wet, they came to minister at my die Helderberg NG Kerk, en Jan de Wet, toe ek hier in de Hoop was hy 'n dominee by NG Helderberg, en hy het 'n groot sonde gedoen, hy het met sy gitaar op die pulpit gestaan en gitaar gespeel, en daar was chaos gewees. En Jan de Wet het net 3 jaar gehou, want hy moes kies tussen sy gitaar en die pulpit, en toe kies hy sy gitaar, en die Here het kragte vir hom gebruik, en we came there, Hannes, dominee Hannes Tron, hy het om voorgestel, en hy het toe die story aangebring, en gesê van Jan de Wet, want hulle is ewe oud, en hoe die Here hoe hy toe weg is daar en soan, en allemaal het vir hom gecheer en handen geklap, en het was een groot oomblik, maar ek en Lynette, het was een sondag aand, en Daniel en Christian het gegaan, en ons het hulle mooi geprep, want ons is nou so half bang, mense ken ons, en nou sit Louis Smit hulle, ons sit hier so, nou sit hulle daar so, en hy kyk so, nou loer hy vir my so, wat maak jy hulle hier? En daar sit Johan, hulle sit daar, so daar is een paar ouwens, en ek gaan, wat maak julle hier so, man, dis baie lekker om hulle daar te hee, en ons kinders word opgeroep, en Jan de Wet met die gitaar, en hy speel, en dis my kinders sing, en Daniel van Houten, en ek is so trots, dis so lekker, dis net so lekker, maar ek voel Godse teenwoordigheid daar, en hierdie manne, jy hulle het my aangeraak, maar ek voel die Here se teenwoordigheid so krachtig in die kerk, en in die einde het Willie Joubert, sy testimonie gegee, en hy sê dat hy het 'n open hart operasie gehad, dat hy moes 'n 6 hart omleiding gehad het, sy hart was oop gewees, en hy het homself gevind 5 meter bo sy lichaam, en hy het afgekyk op sy lichaam, en hy het gesien die penne wat sy bors oophou, wat sy hart oophou terwyl hy die operasie doen, en die Here sê vir hom, hy sê, ek sê vir jou, jou hart is stikkend, want daar is hoogmoed, eie geregtigheid en selfregverdiging in jou hart. En hy sê, hy sien Jesus inkom, hy sê die lig is so skerp, dat hy nie kan sien nie, hy dog toe, hy gaan nie kan sien na dit nie. En hy sê, Jesus sê die mooiste woorde wat hy nog gehoor het, ek gaan vir jou 'n nuwe hart gee. En hy raak in sy hart, en hy word wakker, en sy hart het omgedraai, het heeltemal omgedraai vir die lewe, vir die Here ook, en hy sê, in die kerk, hy sê, as jy hier is, en jy voel jou hart is donker, wil ek jou die geleentheid gee, om jou hand op te steek, sodat ek vir jou kan bid, en ek hoor net, hy sê, ek sien die hand, ek sien die hand, ek sien die hand, toe hy klaar is, toe sê, as jy jou hand opgesteek het, wil ek jou verdere stap van gehoorsaamheid, vra dat jy net moet opstaan, daar seker 80 evangelistiek 120 mense opgestaan. Is hulle hoeveel het opgestaan? Maklik, maklik. Ek het gehuil, want die teenwoordigheid van God was so krachtig daar, want die Here het mense kom aanraak. En gisteroggend, as ek in my stilte tyd en ek bid, en ek kry 'n oproep, en ek voel net ek moet hierdie een antwoord, my foon was nie op silent gewees nie, en dit is Johan van Wyk, en hy vertel vir my van hierdie BKNG kerk in Durban wil, waar die mense vir Pinkster by mekaar kom, en dis 500 mense, en dis dominee Erik Swanepoel, en hy challenge die ouwens om hulle lewe oor te gee, daar is nou klomp ouwens wat gedoop gaan raak uit hierdie meetings uit, wat hy net sê, baie keer vra mense, bring jou kos, en dan bring ons die kos wat die laaste, die oudste kos is, maar hy sê, dis vir die Here, ons moet die nietste kos bring, ons moet die nietste klere bring, want dis iets as unto the Lord. En hy sê, dat kerk is stampvol mense, wat draai na die Here toe. And it makes me, I get excited to hear that, because I see God is moving in churches that we many times thought God wouldn't want to move in. And even in this, I'm coming to a point where I'm just so desperate to spend time with God. And this book that I'm going through, and I write down many prophecies that God has given me in words, because I'm really seeking God. Where is it that He wants to take me? What is His will for my life? And one of them, when Mercy Oakham was here, she said, when last has God interrupted your message? And when I read it, I realized it's never been, but Friday morning it was, because I had a whole message worked out, and then God just touched me in such a powerful way that I knew I couldn't preach that message, even though I believed that word was from the Lord. I think I'm becoming the weeping prophet, because in God's presence I can't help myself, but I'm just starting to cry, because my spirit connects with God's spirit in such a powerful way that I can't help myself but to cry. And it's where the Spirit, the presence of God, is upon me. And I just realized that's what God desires. He desires us to be with Him. We can read the Word, we can Bible lees, we can do all these things, but there's a connection that God wants to change. And we can do this Firoki tricks, and it's alles goed, but when there's no Spirit, there's no life. If it's not in the Spirit, in the presence of God, we can read the Scripture, but the letter will kill, but it will be the Spirit that brings life. It's in the presence of God that we get changed, not because we're trying to do the right thing. And I had the opportunity to stand on this Monday morning with about 1,000 kids here in front of me, and I did the Salvation's message. En wat ek doen in kinderkerk altyd, en Wynand was God, the headmaster, en hy had a kroon op sy kop, en a lap oor hom, en die adjunkoof, meneer van Wyk, was Jesus, en ek sou spykers deur sy hande geslaan het, en die kinders, nee, but I had a cross, and my cross disappeared, and I had to find a new cross, but it was a difficult message to bring, even though I enjoyed it, because all the obstacles before I gave the message, and we prayed, and it's Nicola standing there, she came and prayed with us, and teachers that went to pray. But Friday, this whole school stood around the the boundary of the school, and all the children, all pupils had the opportunity to pray for the school. Where in the world do you hear of this? And it happens in this school. And I'm going, yes, God, you are doing something amazing. And Magdalene, she sent me that where that woman from War Room said, God, you did it again. You did it again. And I'm getting excited because I'm starting to feel God is stirring. He's stirring something amazing. And Friday morning, I'm in the presence of God, and I'm going to play you a song just now, and that Johan also gave to me. And I was just worshiping on this song, and God touched me, and He led me to Psalm 136, and I've read it many times. And every time I read it, it was one of those psalms that it's difficult to read because it says, His steadfast love. Just go back to the heading, please. His steadfast love endures forever. His steadfast love endures forever. But this time, as I read it, God, I just started crying. And as I read it, God started showing me things that has happened in my past. And He said to me, my steadfast love endures forever. And then He showed me the new thing. Exactly like Anne-Marie was talking to us now, I went through stages like that. And every time He said to me, my steadfast love endures forever. My steadfast love. And I cried before God. And when I walked out of there, I just realized God is seeking me to seek Him more. He wants not to do things, but to know Him, to know Him, and that we know that He knows Him, that He changes us because we are in His presence. So I want to take you through Psalm 136. It says, verse 1, give thanks to the Lord, for He is good, for His steadfast love endures forever. This give thanks is the word, it's yada, it's very similar to yada, to know God. But this word means to praise, to give thanks, to confess, to make confessions, thanksgiving unto God. To thank you, Lord, for what you've done, and I praise you. That's what it says here. So you can see either thank God, dankie Here, of loof die Here, praise die Here, I praise your name. The word was also translated in various ways, but an example, Genesis 29, when the wife of Israel, of Jacob, had a son, she said, and she conceived again and bore a son, and she said, this time I will praise the Lord. Therefore she called his name Judah. So that's the name, Judah. Therefore, I will call him Judah. So the Lord, and the Lord here is Yahweh, the holy name of God, the most holy name, the name that God was known by, the name that no one was allowed to write or to speak. It says that God, give thanks to Him, because that God, this God, He is good. This God who is I am, He says, I will be who I will be. It means the same, the existing one, the eternal one, the supreme God. He is good. And that good is pleasant, agreeable, excellent, kind. He's right in welfare. He's prosperity. He's happiness. He's good things. This mighty, powerful God is good. He's good. His steadfast love. It's shechet, is the Hebrew word, but it can also be translated as kindness. His steadfast love is kindness, or His beauty, His favor, His good deeds, His kind lovingness, His kindness, His mercy. He's merciful. His mercy endures forever, and the enduring forever is everlasting, eternity. It continues. It will never stop. His goodness will never stop. His love towards us will never stop. Then verse 2 says, give thanks to Him, or praise Him, to the God of gods, for His steadfast love endures forever. Give thanks to the Lord of lords, for His steadfast love endures forever. God, the God here is Elohim, it's the creator, it's the God, and it's the God that of the angels, of all the divine beings, the big God of all of that. And the Lord means the master, the one that rules over everything, the owner. the owner of everything that exists, for he is, his love endures forever. And then Psalm 4 says, to him, to this God, who alone does great wonders, for his steadfast love endures forever. To him who by understanding made the heavens, for his steadfast love endures forever. To him who spread out the earth above the waters, for his steadfast love endures forever. To him who made the great lights, for his steadfast love endures forever. To the sun to rule over the day, for his steadfast love endures forever. To the moon and the stars to rule over the night, for his steadfast love endures forever. So this God, the creator God, the God that created the heavens and the earth, he created the stars, all the stars that is in the universe, the people, the plants, the animals, the fish, the birds. He created us. He knew us. This God did it because his steadfast love endures forever. The God that created there are stars in this universe. If you compare it to the sun is like this big, and then that star would be a huge burning flame of sun. Yet God knows all of these stars that he has made. He knows their name. He knows that he's created them. This God, he created all of that because of his steadfast love that endures forever. This God creates, he makes new. And in light of that, how big is our problems? The creator God compared to who we are. Broken relationships. I'm not going to have a job. I'm not going to make it. Who's going to provide for me? In terms of the God that created everything. If we just look at ourselves, how small we are compared to this earth only, yet we think our problems is so much bigger. The God that creates, that made, that spoke, and the stars came to be. And we look at our little problems and we think, God cannot solve it. And then he says, I created all of this because my steadfast love endures forever. And then verse 10 says, to him who struck down the firstborn of Egypt, for his steadfast love endures forever, and brought Israel out from among them, for his steadfast love endures forever. With a strong hand and an outstretched arm, for his steadfast love endures forever. To him who divided the Red Sea in two, for his steadfast love endures forever, and made Israel pass through the midst of it, for his steadfast love endures forever. But overthrew Pharaoh and his host in the Red Sea, for his steadfast love endures forever. So this portion talks about how God came to take the people of Israel out of bondage, out of Egypt. He led them through the Red Sea. He protected them when all the plagues came. He protected them through all of that. He came when that angel of death came. He protected the people of Israel. He was with them because his steadfast love endures forever. They started believing and trusting in God. They went through tough things. They didn't understand it. But God says, my steadfast love endures forever. He led them through the Red Sea. They followed Moses. They went through the Red Sea. The Egyptian army came to destroy them, but the same sea that saved the Israelites destroyed the enemy, because his steadfast love endures forever. How much more will God not look out for us, his people, because we trust in him? He takes us out of prison. He takes us out of bondage. He takes us out of sin, out of addictions. He takes us out of things that we do that's holding us into Egypt, because his steadfast love endures forever. We sometimes don't understand it. We get in bondage to games and to drugs or alcohol or whatever our thing is. But God wants us to break free from that, because his steadfast love endures forever. And he leads them into the promised land. And then verse 16 says, to him who led his people through the wilderness, for his steadfast love endures forever. To him who struck down great kings, for his steadfast love endures forever, and killed mighty kings, for his steadfast love endures forever. Sihon the king of the Amorites, for his steadfast love endures forever. And Og, the king of Bashan, for his steadfast love endures forever. So God leads his people into the desert. They don't understand it. They moan and they complain and they struggle and they don't have food and they fight and some die. And God takes others he opens the ground and they fall into hell and he closes the ground again. And there's lots of complaining and moaning. But God says, my steadfast love endures forever. And then he calls them to fight against the different kings. And he says, my steadfast love endures forever. And they go through tough times and they don't understand. But God's saying, my steadfast love endures forever. And he says, just follow me. He's leading them with the fire by night and the cloud by the day. And they just have to follow him because his steadfast love endures forever. He's got this plan. We don't understand the plan. We're trying to struggle and resist it. But God is saying, follow me because my steadfast love endures forever. Then verse 21 says, I gave the land as a heritage, for his steadfast love endures forever. A heritage to Israel, his servant, for his steadfast love endures forever. And here I'm getting challenged. And I want to challenge you. I believe with all my heart, God has an inheritance to us, his people. He's the provider. He's the God that wants us to inherit. He says the righteous, their children's children, will have an inheritance because his steadfast love endures forever. The blessing of God is because he wants good things, because we are his children, because his steadfast love endures forever. And we sometimes believe that we are not good enough and we have this slave mentality, but I'm not worth it. But he says, I've not given you a spirit of bondage to fear, but I've given you a spirit of adoption by whom you can call me Abba Father. And you are not only a spirit by whom you're not only my children, but you are heirs and co-heirs with the Lord Jesus Christ. And then he says, even though you will suffer with me, you will also be glorified with him. So through all the suffering and stuff that we're going through, God is saying, my steadfast love endures forever. Because he takes all of that, he grows us to that point where we can walk into the fullness of what God has called us to. And we might not understand it. We might not understand why my dad had to die now. But he says, my steadfast love endures forever. Because God is good in every way. And I just came to a point where I realized God is wanting us to trust in him. To trust in him with everything. Not have a back door open and it's good. We must have policies and we must have insurance and we must have a retirement annuities. We must have plan for the future. We must have those things. But we shouldn't rely on those things. We must rely on God. We mustn't rely on our business because everything can be taken away in a moment. What do we have left? It's faith. That we walk by faith. We walk by what God has called us. That we walk in that place that God is leading us to because we are following him. And we cannot get to that place if we don't see him. We must spend time to see him so that we can follow him. Otherwise, we'll get frustrated. We'll get confused. We will get angry. We will not understand why are these things happening to me if we don't hear his voice. Because he's the good shepherd and he leads his people. And if you hear the voice of God, his voice is amazing. You want to be with him. He changes. In that moment, God changes whoever comes with him. And then verse 23 says, it is he who remembered us in our lowest state, for his steadfast love endures forever, and rescued us from our foes, for his steadfast love endures forever. And this lowest state, some commentators said it's referring to the time in the Babylonian captivity. I believe there was a time when the Israelites, they could take over the highlands, but the lowlands they couldn't take because of the chariots that they had to fight against. But what God has in my heart spoke to me about this is that as believers, we many times come to a place where we are low. We're in the lowlands. we become depressed. Even as believers, we go and we just, it's almost like the devil takes out our breath and we cannot stand. We lose hope. We just don't have hope as believers anymore. And we go through this battles. And I believe even in that time, this is where Satan comes and he puts depression upon us. And he puts guilt and shame and condemnation upon us. And we're saying, you are not good enough. You're not going to make it. You're not working hard enough. Or he's giving us these lies. And these lies are causing us to feel defeated because we cannot stand up. But God says, my steadfast love endures forever. He rescues us from these things. He rescues us. He takes us out of these things because God's heart is to bless us. And I just want to take you to the next slide. And this is where I'm just understanding for us as believers, when we become born again, we move outside of the old life into the new life. We cross over. And the crossing over is what Jesus has done on the cross. When he died on the cross, he paid the price, and it's done. So we talk about faith, hope, and love, faith is what happened 2,000 years ago. We put our faith in that, what Jesus has done. He's done it already. All has been done. So in that, atonement was done for our sins. So he took the price, he paid it for us, so that we don't have to do it. Salvation, we have salvation. And salvation is not only when I become born again, it's walking in the abundance. It's walking in breakthrough. It's walking in the fullness of God. We work out our salvation in fear and trembling. I believe it's got to do with healing. It's got to do with deliverance. It's got to do with everything how we live. Salvation, the fullness of what God has done. Satan has been defeated on the cross. He's been defeated on the cross. We have healing. We have deliverance because of what Jesus has done on the cross. Why do we struggle with darkness as believers? Why do we struggle with death? With the fear of death, then fear, depression, anguish, despair, sickness, oppression, poverty as believers? Because of the cross, the darkness, Jesus gives us light. Because of death, through Christ, we get life. Because of fear, through the cross, we get love. Because of depression, through the cross, we get joy. Because of anguish, through the cross, we get peace. Because of this, we get joy. Because of despair, I'm going cross over. Because of despair, we get hope. Because of sickness, we get healing. Because of poverty, we get abundance. When we struggle, it's faith. It's we doubt. We have fear because we do not trust that what Jesus has done is sufficient on the cross. Because he's done it already. When we come before God and we know, we trust him, we know him, we get, yes, he's done it. I can walk in peace because he's in absolute control of my life. Because his steadfast love endures forever. Because I know God is good. Whatever he does, whatever happens in my life, happens because God is good. And he's allowing this to happen for me to release what I'm holding into the darkness so that I can come into the fullness of what he has called us for. And many times we hold on to things that is causing us to get hurt. But as soon as we can release, we can step into that place where we can walk in the fullness of what God has called us for, and it's faith. And I believe faith comes by hearing and hearing the word of God. Faith comes because we spend time with him. And what Satan does is he wants us to believe, to not believe, to believe the lies that he's telling us. Our identity is in what God, is what Jesus says in the word we are. And faith means that we have to believe what he's saying about me, even though I cannot see it. So people might say, you are a loser. And I've got to defend what Jesus is saying. I'm not a loser. I'm an overcomer in Christ Jesus. Hallelujah. So every time someone speaks to us negative thoughts, that thought will become a stronghold in your mind. And you would become and believe Satan's lies about me. And the Bible says we have to take that thought captive to the obedience of Christ, so that what we speak is what God is saying about me. Then I start believing what God is saying. So then I don't get thrown when I get retrenched. I don't get thrown when I don't have a job anymore, because I know my God is wonderful, because His steadfast love endures forever. Nothing that the world can bring against us will throw me, because He that's in me is bigger than he who is in the world. But that comes because we spend time in the presence of God. So I just want to finish with verse 25 and verse 26 is, He gives food to all flesh, for His steadfast love endures forever. Then it says, give thanks of praise to the God of heaven, for His steadfast love endures forever. So I'm just in a point where I'm being challenged so much by God. Is He enough for me? Is Jesus all that I need? Is Jesus all that I want? Is it about Him? Or is it what I can do for Him? Or what I can mean for Him? Or is it just to be with Him? Am I ready to just say, Lord, have Your will, even though it means I might die tomorrow and go to heaven, that I will have no fear, because I know that His steadfast love endures forever. And I believe for us as Christians, we many times come to a place where we become lukewarm. We know the drills. We come to church, we come to cell, we go to once every, we work out a pattern for our lives that works for us, because now we become in a place where we follow rules. And we just want, give me just 10 rules and I will follow that. If you give me 10 rules, I'll be happy. Because we want to be told what we must do. But Jesus is saying, I don't want you to follow me with rules. The letter kills, but it's the Spirit that gives life. Come to me, let me show you and teach you on what to do. And that place is really that place where I say, Lord, I surrender. Let Your will, let Your will. It's You. It's You that I desire. And that's the place of worship before God, in our secret place, where we say, God, You are enough for me. You are enough for me. And I really believe that that is the place where God can transform us, that we can become salt and light. Because salt can lose its flavor. And you will lose the flavor if you don't spend time with Him. You know, it's a geyser. A geyser can give hot water, but if there's no water coming in, it will burn out. Because there must be water for it to be able to give hot water out. So if we don't spend time in the secret place with the Lord, we are going to burn out. We're going to give that it's not from God. It will sound good, maybe, but there won't be life. The life only comes by the presence of God. So I'm just going to pray, and then I'm going to, you can just in your own words respond. Is he enough? Is He enough for you specifically? Because I realized I have to rediscover Jesus. I've got to rediscover Him. And as I want to just yet to listen to the song, you can respond to Him. If anyone wants prayer, you can respond. I'll be here to pray. If there's anyone else that can help me to pray, it depends on how many people respond. If no one responds, but I just want to challenge you. Rediscover Jesus, because He's amazing. When He speaks, it's the most beautiful words. He changes lives. Because, you know, we're so easy to run to hear what people are saying. But Jesus is saying, run to me, for my steadfast love endures forever. Father, I want to thank You, Lord, that, and I want to say sorry, God, that I've been so many times wanting to do things to please You, wanting to know and to read books and to read what it says on the internet to know You, and not to coming to You to get to know You, Lord. And I pray, Lord, that You will change it in my heart, and maybe someone that agrees with me in our hearts, Lord, that we will rediscover You for ourselves, Lord, that we will know You, that we will do nothing unless You have spoken to us, Lord. Look, as David, could strengthen himself in the Lord, that he, before he would go, he would first ask you, can I go? And can I do this? He asked you all the time. He was led by you, Lord. And Father, I want to pray that we will, whatever we do, is we will ask you, Holy Spirit, are you happy with this? Have you released me to do this? Have you released me to spoken to this person? Have you released me to be in this job? Have you released me that where we are, we know we are because you have placed us there? And that will give us that security because you are good. And sometimes I believe, God, you are frustrating us because you want us to release, because we're holding on to the wrong thing. We might be in the right place, but we're holding on the wrong thing. And you're just reaching out your hand and saying, hold on to my hand and follow me in the name of Jesus. Can you know a song, spiel asseblief?
Your spirit hovers over my waters. Your love burns longer than the sun. The skies of thunder echo your wonder. Your praises can't be oversung. The whole universe is witness to only a part you've done. So let me rediscover you and breathe in me your life anew. Tell me of a God I never knew. Oh, let me rediscover.
Stand, please. I just hear God saying to me that there are people who are actually very afraid. And it's afraid of the future. There's people who are afraid of dying, of getting old, of getting sick, of not being provided for. And it's almost like you are in a constant battle in your heart, in your mind. You can't sleep anymore. You are worried. And that worry is becoming stress. I just believe God is saying that He wants to relieve you because He's done it for you. He loves you, and His steadfast love endures forever. But this place where you have to release, because He wants to do a great thing in you. He wants you to know Him because He loves you. He wants to grow you. He wants you to walk in the fullness of what He has called for you. But the doubt and the self-doubt and the insecurity and the loneliness is speaking to you louder than what the Word of God is. And then the second thing that God challenged me specifically with is that technology is hampering time with the Lord. We spend so much time in front of the computer or on the phones or on the iPad or even in television and movies and stuff that we do that we don't get time to spend with Him. But there's so much time that's going to waste because we are on a screen looking at emptiness. And God is wanting us to come into His presence so that we can see His eyes, that we can see, because in that place is where He wants to grow. He wants to grow us. If there's anyone here who are struggling because of doubt in the goodness of God, doubt in that God is in control of your life, God, that you can trust God, I want to invite you to respond to Him, because it's not to me. I believe God is wanting to touch you with His love. Father, we thank You for Your love, Your goodness, and Your mercy. We thank You for Your everlasting love, God. We can walk and know that You are good, and we praise You for that, Lord. We praise You and we exalt You over this church, Lord. We say, Lord, let Your will be done in our lives, Lord, that we can walk, Lord God, as salt and light in this earth, in the name of Jesus. Thank You for what You've done, Lord. Thank You for the cross. Thank You for faith, Lord. And I pray that You increase our faith in the name of Jesus. Amen. Be blessed. We're going to baptize people afterwards. I'm not sure who is going to be baptized. If anyone feels they need a prayer, you are welcome to come forward. For the rest of you, can have some coffee. And may the Lord bless you on Christian's birthday. May I see Christian. Hallelujah. Okay, hello. Bye-bye.
Remember that our sermons are also available on Shofar TV. Go to www.shofaronline.tv to download and share.